Kid Filchi wrote, Isoto Biha, 1,000 welcomes to the Village Oak Tree for March 20th, 2024. My name's Terrence O'Donnell, and I'm returning again to your village this week with more observations of our chaotic world. Today, I want to talk about poverty in the U.S. and how it continues to get worse by the month for a lot of people now. I also want to talk about the MAGA situation and how that will affect the country and the world if they take power in 2025. So bring a wrap or a coat and sit under the Village Oak Tree with me as I tell you the state of things outside your world. I'll be taking a wee break around the 15-minute mark thereabouts to offer you my public service announcement for preventing veteran suicides. I thank you for spending your valuable time with me today. So now let's talk about what we got going on in the world this week. As I said, this week we're going to talk about poverty in the United States because I just recently got back from a five-day weekend trip down to the state of South Carolina here in the United States. And I got to see just how bad the poverty is in the rural parts. I've known for a long time that things are bad, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention until Google Maps took us off I-95 due to a setup glitch. And we ended up traveling down quite a few back roads on our way to Myrtle Beach. Seeing all that poverty, it struck me then why rural Americans are so angry. As Chris Hedges talks about in his new article, which I have referenced below, it's not racism or immigration necessarily, but the gutting of small-town economics has made them mad and wanting a major change in the government. They don't want to be forced out of their homesteads that maybe they inherited from their ancestors or bought back when houses were affordable and there were jobs in these small rural towns. They want the American dream of a stable life, a decent job, a living wage, by a local company that treats them as valuable employees they are. They want to go back to the days of company picnics, company-sponsored bowling teams, softball teams, and the other perks of small-town life. Even those who live or have lived in the cities, like Detroit in the heyday of American car manufacturing, want the same things in their own way. They may not live or have lived in a small factory town or in a rural agricultural small town, but the neighborhood culture was still there, and they want that back. So the big thing is, when the U.S. signed up for the free trade agreement with their neighbors, Canada and Mexico, the Americans touted to everyone how beneficial it would be for the working class. That's all BS. The only ones who benefited from all that were the corporate owners and the executives who shipped all our factories out of the country for cheaper labor and their crony politicians. The politicians don't care because they get paid either way. Win-win for them. Now you see why only the criminals or grifters want to be elected officials now. It's one of the most lucrative jobs out there these days, as long as you don't possess any scruples about fleecing everyone else. I'm also getting jaded about re-electing Joe Biden, as it seems it may be more of just the same gutting of the U.S. economy and labor force, despite what they tell us. Joe Biden has accomplished a few things in the last 3.5 years, but then he's also made some pretty bad decisions on foreign policy that's coming back to haunt him. They may cost him the next election in November. The two biggest ones are the vacuum left behind in the rapid pullout from Afghanistan. I know we needed to leave, but we should have never overstayed our welcome in the first place. I was there in 2002, and I'm still upset that the U.S. failed to follow through with taking care of the regular people it promised to do that started when I was there, then faded away and disappeared altogether not long after I left. The lack of follow-through showed, and it just got worse. The second is the latest debacle with, at first, the open wallet support for Israel, and now trying to close the door a little over the obvious atrocities committed and still being committed by Israel in their pursuit of Hamas. Everyone agrees that Hamas has to go, but to systematically destroy people who are already living in apartheid conditions is way over the top. There are better ways to handle that situation, but it's too late now. Pandora's box has been opened, and Netanyahu's government is not interested in closing it, no matter who asked them to. I have written and talked about this issue, along with hundreds of other more famous people around the world. The Irish governments, both North and South, came to Washington this last weekend for Paddy's Day and tried a full-court press to convince Biden and any sympathetic American legislators to push for a ceasefire. Ireland's been pushing for this since the beginning. They have no love for Israel or any other apartheid regime. They suffered for hundreds of years under British apartheid conditions until the early 20th century and suffered again during the Troubles. The North is still suffering from those years, even now. Meanwhile, the American working class and poor are getting economically worse by the month as more and more corporations buy up houses, build new subdivisions and apartment complexes, and price them out of reach of the working class. These people are still working as best they can, but a lot of them are homeless now, and more of them are forced onto the streets every month. As I mentioned, I'm writing this on the last day of my little five-day holiday. While writing this, I had a chat with a nice woman whose husband is working in Charleston, South Carolina, in the South Carolina area, but they can't afford to live there. The real estate prices are so high due to the internal migrations in the U.S. that they are forced to live in their small RV trailer under an extended stay RV campground until they can save up enough money to relocate somewhere less expensive to live. I know she told me that she's thinking about going back to Alabama. This is rapidly becoming a new subculture in the United States. People are being forced out of their houses due to loss of jobs or massive medical debt or some other economic factor and are living in RV campgrounds or in their cars while still working at any job that will keep them fed and clothed. These are proud people and angry that they've been forced into this situation. Then there are the people in the next subculture up that do live in their own homes, but just barely. They are hanging on by a thread, knowing that they are just one medical emergency away from being like their brothers and sisters living in RVs and cars. They're also angry and scared. They want to go back to a time when they had good jobs that afforded them a more relaxed lifestyle, maybe something they had once, but not anymore. As you keep moving up the social strata of American culture, there are variations of everything I've described until we reach those who are living the dream. They have those white-collar jobs that afford them the big houses in affluent, secluded neighborhoods, big expensive cars, and other luxuries that the lower classes only dream of. These are the people you see in the high-end grocery stores like Publix, dressed in their pricey clothes, driving their expensive SUVs as if there were no other issues near them for them to stress about. Their only worries are picking up their kids from school, are their kids getting the grades needed to get into the best universities, and so on. I won't talk about the millionaires and billionaires, as they are in a class all by themselves. They're the ones who have the addiction I talked about last week, the ones that no matter how much money they have, it's never enough. I also won't delve into the politicians, because they're also in a class by themselves. Their livelihoods are derived from taxpayer-paid salaries, which are way out of proportion from the actual work they're supposed to be doing for their constituents who elected them and their campaign donors. This is their main source of income, campaign donations. The taxpayer salaries are a mere pittance compared to those donations. Now, I've lived poor in my younger days. I grew up poor. I grew up really poor on a farm and struggled to keep a roof over our heads and, you know, family in my family and food on the table a time or two and while raising children. I'm fortunate that I don't live like that now, but you never forget. I'm also very aware every day that if the government goes belly up, my current comfortable lifestyle could disappear, and I might be one of those forced into living in an RV. The problem the United States has is that there are so many angry people right now willing to vote for anyone who promises them a return to the days of company barbecues, sponsored bowling teams, or softball teams. Factory and farming towns where everyone knows each other and their children want to stay after they graduate from primary school. Some are willing to commit violence to get that back, as seen on January 6, 2021. They're the ones who are cheering Donald Trump as he stands on his rally stage like an old-time revival preacher, promising them all a return to the good old days of white majority demographics, good-paying blue-collar jobs, and rural towns with local retailers that everyone knew. I don't like reruns, so I won't repeat all that again. I've told you in previous podcasts what to expect. I'm not the only one doing this. There's a lot of independent journalists and writers out there who are touting all of this, what's coming, what's going to happen when Donald Trump and his MAGA loyalists get elected in November. So the question is, are the Democrats any better? It doesn't appear so. Joe Biden and company are just as guilty of grift as the GOP. They just camouflage it better. There are a handful of politicians who try, but there are too many other greedy, addicted to money politicians who are shutting them out. As I mentioned last week, some are leaving in one fashion or another, or being forced out by the extremists, as in not getting reelected. The Freedom Caucus, as they like to call themselves, led by Matt Gaetz of Florida, is trying to disrupt the GOP party every which way they can to get their way. Their way is rolling back women's rights, a national ban on abortions, making it against the law to sell contraception products, outlawing LGBTQ plus and transgenderism, and a lot more nationalism and isolationism. Now, here's a couple of examples of that I found in the news. The governor of South Dakota keeps insulting the Native Americans with racist remarks in public, so they have started issuing bans preventing her from entering tribal lands. And that could have a big issue with her reelection down the road. A Republican state education primary winner wants to shoot former President Obama on live TV with a firing squad. And on it goes. There's tons of stories like this all over the U.S. news almost every day. Then there are the people from other countries who are afraid of the United States. A young Portuguese computer prodigy is doing everything he can to take his punishment in any other country than the U.S. This is another instance like the Julian Assange case, although this young man is not associated with Assange. He is guilty of cyber crimes in the EU and the U.S., and the U.S. is, once again, trying to bully the EU into turning him over to be convicted in a U.S. court before anyone else can get their hands on him. Even though he is not an American citizen, nor does he have any family there, he knows the Americans will lock him up in a dark dungeon for the rest of his life, whereas Europeans are a little more humane. Where will the United States end up in 2025? There are lots of predictions and doomsayers writing articles arguing about what that life might look like, myself included. If Biden wins, which looks shaky right now if the U.S. were to vote today, the U.S. can expect more of the same as they have, you know, as what they got now, unless the American voters also usher in a supermajority Democrat Congress, which is doubtful, which means more of the same as the last 4 years with a divisive Congress and little getting done. If Donald Trump should win, we should already have a good idea what to expect from this career criminal con artist based on his revival tent rallies. These poor people who vote for him and his government loyalists will end up the worse for it, but you can't tell them that now. A lot of them are at near to full-on fever pitch, and there's little that anyone can do to make them snap out of it. The worst is yet to come. There has been some public rhetoric about what to expect if Trump loses this year. A lot of very influential people, like the MAGA people in Arizona, for instance, who are already fomenting a near rebellion if he loses the popular electoral vote count. Michigan also probably going to be like that, and a couple others. Americans can expect a lot of lawyers filing suits over vote counts, fraudulent voting machines, and anything else they can think to overturn the election results. It's doubtful that there will be another January 6th again in Washington, but in certain states, could get interesting from November through the end of the year. Michigan and Arizona would be good examples of what to expect based on what happened in 2020. Will GOP state governments revolt, try to force the federal government to not certify the electoral votes this time? That's what the insurrection in 2021 was attempting to do. Obviously, the smart ones learned what not to do this time. The United States needs to prepare itself for this. I think they are, but wisely keeping it quiet. If Biden and company are smart enough, they will keep it that way. Joe Biden is pretty smart in his own way. He also has some of the best political minds working there for him. I'm reasonably sure that they are already prepping and gaming things out as far as how many scenarios they can think of, just in case. I know I would be. I feel sad and angry that the politicians have left the country in such sad shape. This is what the U.S. is reduced to, planning for a GOP coup. As a veteran who served the country for most of my younger adult life, I'm saddened by this and also determined in my own way to try and wake people up to what's coming. I read articles by Tom Hartman, Chris Hedges, and so many others now. They are the ones who inspired me to speak out like this. I'm ready to stand up for the average American family struggling to survive, even the deluded, angry ones. To quote a little Bible scripture, even though I'm not a Christian, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. Luke 23:34. My biggest concern is not so much any large riots like the U.S. had back in the late 1960s and early 1970s so much, but this simmering anger sparking into a real-life confrontation with authorities. These deluded, angry people taking up arms against the federal government in the red states and their state governments following along, making loud noises about seceding again, like in 1860. I read another article recently about how badly the MAGA cult has infiltrated the U.S. military rank and file, badly now. How would that play out if enough of them decided that Trump has to be the new commander-in-chief? Would there be refusals to obey a Biden government? Would they have enough soldiers, sailors, and airmen to take over military installations and openly defy orders to stand down unless those orders came from Trump? What about state and National Guard units? Would they get activated by GOP governors in the states that refuse to certify Biden's win? I could see Texas Governor Abbott doing that and a few other states. How many other states would follow suit? Oklahoma, Tennessee, Missouri, Idaho, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, to name a few. So now it's time for my break. It's about the 15-minute mark. Please listen to my PSA about preventing veteran suicide, and I'll be back in a minute. I want to take a minute to tell any veterans out there who may be watching or listening to this show, or a dependent who may be living with a veteran who may be struggling, but they don't want to reach out because of the stigma attached. I will tell you that I have been there, and I struggled for a few years before I was more or less forced into seeking help from a local veterans center. It changed my life. Not before I lost another family, but at least I didn't end up on the street or in jail, which I came close to. Look at the posters I have showing and take down the numbers shown. 988, then press 1. Text 838-255. Or go to veteranscrisisline.net/chat to talk to someone. It's all confidential, and they're open 24/7. Whatever's going on with you, they can help. I know that the counselors I reached out to gave me my life back. Someone here can do the same for you or your loved one. Help with just one phone call, text, or chat away. If someone needs help, don't hesitate any longer. Make the call that could save someone's life. Welcome back. Putin has just been reelected. Is anyone really surprised by that? He's already threatening Europe and NATO with World War III if they stand up to him in Ukraine. Trump has already told Orban in Hungary, who announced it to the world a couple of days ago, that he will not send another penny to help Ukraine. Between the threat of an autocratic coup in the United States and World War III in Europe, how much more stress are we supposed to put up with? We have global warming going on, although there are a lot of people denying that, corporate glutting of the planetary environment, and now the threat of World War III in Europe, maybe even the Middle East. Lithuania and Moldova have publicly reached out to the EU for extra protection from Russia lately. Putin has mentioned this somewhat offhandedly in the past, but he's putting it right out front and center now that he's assured of remaining president. Then there's India, working hard towards a Hindu nationalist government and culture with its latest laws, excluding Muslims from the government in line with all the other Muslim restrictions and violence in the outlying provinces. As one of the biggest economies in the world now, alienating the Muslims that surround them is probably not a good plan, but you can't tell them that. The average working class American is up against the wall these days and close to lashing out against their oppressors. Donald Trump and company are promising to take care of all that for them. The extremist GOP factions are screaming about anything they can think of that will distract all these angry people from the real problems they're facing, such as immigrants and southern border. Slow con that is bleeding them all dry. They know they are being taken advantage of. They just don't know by who for sure. That's where the GOP con artists come in. Using sleight of hand, they are pointing away from the actual problems plaguing rural and poor Americans as they take their ill-gotten goods through their offshore bank accounts, laughing behind closed doors and behind hands over their mouths in public. If Trump manages to come to power again and follows through with even half the proposals outlined in his campaign rallies, the United States will devolve into a mirror image of Hungary, Russia, and China, and other autocratic countries. The worst part is the disillusionment of all these people who were misled into voting for him and the other MAGA people when they lose even more of their civil liberties and income. This is what these poor deluded people will end up with once MAGA takes power. The people are already getting a taste of what's to come with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, then a proposed ban on contraceptives touting the Comstock law from the late 19th century, book banning, restrictive laws on LGBTQ, and especially the transgender people. I just read a book by Russell K. Jack called Is MAGA a Terrorist Movement? And this is a copy of it right here. I'm going to show it to you. And if you can pick it up off Amazon and read it, it's a good read. It's very chilling to learn just how badly this cult has infiltrated the American culture from the top down. I'm in the works of scheduling an interview with this author in the near future to talk about this new book and what that means for everyone around the world. I hope to have this wrapped up for some time in early April for everyone who tunes in here. I'm also working on other people to interview about this to push this subject out as far as I can. As I said before, I'm just a small fish in this world, but I still want my voice to be heard as much as I can. I can't stress enough what the loss of the freedoms in the U.S. is having on and will have on the citizens of the U.S. if something isn't done to wake people up to what's coming later this year. I've been to countries that don't have near the freedoms that democratically elected governments allow their citizens. We only have to look at Canada and the EU to see what that looks like now. Then look over at Hungary, North Korea, China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and the African continent to see what things will look like if MAGA takes over. It'd be like day and night once they get entrenched and start implementing their changes. Americans still have a choice now, but that choice comes with a price. Civic duty, such as voting, is at the top of that bill. Fighting against tyranny from groups like MAGA is another one on that bill. That's the price for living in a democracy. Nothing in this world's free. It may not cost actual money, like going to Walmart, but there is always a price tag to maintain a democracy, and the bill is always due on receipt. Something everyone receives when they swear to uphold the laws of the country. Some of us have paid the ultimate price for these freedoms, and others, like me, will continue to pay for the rest of our lives due to the injuries received fighting for this country, however long that may be. For some of us, our lives may be shorter than others as payment for keeping our fellow citizens free from tyrants and attackers in our younger days. We were tasked with defending the country and its citizens, all of its citizens, from the poorest of the poor to the richest. We didn't ask anyone any demographic questions. We just did our duty that we volunteered for. We served with other soldiers who didn't look like us or believe in the same things we did, because none of that matters when you swear the oath to defend the country. We all wore the same uniforms or participated in the same training together to accomplish the same results. Now, that is being subverted within the ranks, and it could spell dire consequences if things go sideways at the end of this year. Russell K. Jack's book spells all that out in detail, so I'll let this go for now until I can interview him and give everyone more details about all of that. The bottom line is this. The ideals that the founding fathers had when they set up the new U.S. government back in the late 1700s is still there, but the stars and stripes are fading now. It was never perfect and always a work in progress, which is what they told everyone. The citizens of the United States need to wake up now and take another look at what they're losing. Shake off that apathy and get fired up before it's too late. Your lives may depend on it sooner than you think, especially if you're a woman of fertile age or LGBTQ or trans person. The MAGA people are coming for you, and it won't be pretty. You're getting a taste of that right now. Look at what's already transpiring right in front of everyone right now, today. Loss of a woman's body autonomy, extremely restrictive LGBTQ and transgender laws, the loss of the right to cross state lines in certain states and counties for a pregnant woman, bounties sanctioned by state governments for information about women who attempt to have an abortion or leave to have one, treating immigrants like slave labor while setting up inhumane border enclosures that are killing people left and right. Although I don't think the country will become like the dystopian future of The Handmaid's Tale, there are extremists who wouldn't say no to that. And they're all men with a few deluded women in their wake. If the U.S. were to become an autocratic theocracy, such as outlined in Project 2025, life as most Americans know it will cease to exist. Only the richest white men will enjoy the American dream. The rest of us will languish in worse poverty than we already are, and the death rate will skyrocket from that poverty and initial violent and inevitable protests. Once the dust settles, the life expectancy of everyone but the rich Christian men will plummet. This is the future of the United States under MAGA rule. Think about that as you attend another Trump rally in some rural town somewhere, praying for that miracle that will lift you out of your poverty. Trump and MAGA are not the Christian messiahs you think they are. They're more like the Romans, with Trump as the new Roman governor, who are as corrupt as they come, with no one to hold them accountable, except you, the people, with your votes for now. MAGA is already planning to take that away from you as well, nationally, if they take power. They're trying right now. Read all about it in the news feeds. By eliminating electronic voting machines and going back to hand counting, tell me that this isn't a ploy to subvert the votes in MAGA's favor. Shasta County, California is fighting that right now. So are other counties in Arizona and other states. Take this as a warning of things to come if you vote for these people expecting miracles. Wake up, America. MAGA wants you, but not for what you think. Well, that's all I have for you this week. I hope I've given you all of these who watch or listen to this something to think about as you go about the rest of your week. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll return again for another episode of the Village Oak Tree. Please share this podcast with your friends and relations. The more you share, the more we can convince enough people to make the world a better place to live in. This is Shauna K. I hope you'll continue to let me travel to your village to bring you some news from the world outside that might make you think a little after we part for the day. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as you go about your day. May the saddest day of your future be no worse than the happiest day of your past. Slán go fóill, which means goodbye for now in Irish.